Welcome to the Fantasy Ace Ball Podcast. This is your host, Tim Kanak. You can find me on Twix. I'm going Twix at Fantasy Ace Ball. And we have Raymond Atherton. What's up, Raymond? At Raymond Atherton. On
what's up, dude?
Can I commit you to Twix too? Can I commit you to break a piece of that Twix off? Or no, it's a kick. What am I doing here?
I was just about to say we should make a bit about how you increasingly find dumb things to call Twitter to piss me off, but then I realized I would hate that.
I don't think you can call it anything else. It's Twitter X or Twix or Twitter Machine.
Or there's a whole lot of Elon mannerisms
you can do a lot of that.
You could throw in there, yeah.
You can do a lot of that.
So Twix, I guess, is okay.
It's neutral. It's the most neutral. You're just combining the two. So you won't piss anyone who's Team Twitter or Team X, you won't piss any of them off if you go right down the middle and just combine it into one thing.
Elon's going to buy Twix and change its name so he can have Twix for Twitter.
He totally should. And knowing him, if the thought crossed his mind, he would just do it. All right. Let's get to the lineup notes. We'll start with the American League as per norm. Baltimore Orioles. I just wanted to mention Gunnar Henderson, dude. 6 homers, 4 steals, 14.8% barrel rate, and almost a 97 EV so far. Is Gunnar Henderson a first rounder next year?
He's getting close. Especially in that lineup. If he goes 30-20, I don't know that he's that much different than Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, plus the position eligibility. So you have to think, like, if he does that, if he keeps it up and continues on this pace, you might be taking him over guys like Yordan. Like you said, Tucker, maybe. Like end of first round guys. I think he could be an end of first round player. And I also think that we're probably not going to see any pitchers go in the first round next year. After what happened with Strider this year, I think it's fairly safe to say that we're going to see a nice little drop in pitchers next year.
Yeah, I can definitely get behind that. But Gunnar, I can see being like that guy who's going 15-16. So you get him halfway through round two in a 12-team league that we just love. Like every time he's there, when we pick in the second round, we take him. I can see that happening. Because you can talk yourself into 14 other guys.
Yeah. Gunnar could just be like the Freddie Freeman of infielders. So it's very possible.
Is he going to have dual eligibility next year? Is he doing the shortstop third thing again? I thought he was just playing short.
He's only playing short. But we'll see what happens.
You just meant the position eligibility game that...
Yeah, shortstop. Versus,
gotcha. Yeah,
versus like outfield or whatever. There's so many outfielders that it's nice to get... It's nice to scratch off a middle infield position that early, I think. Ryan O'Hearn playing very well right now. Kind of keeping Heston Kjerstad from coming up because he's playing so well.
Yeah, he still doesn't play against lefties, but he's playing good enough against righties that, yeah, did you see his Baseball Savant page was circulating Twitter the other day?
I didn't even see that. But hint, we're going to talk about him later. Cedric Mullins, 5 bombs and 3 steals with a .263 BABIP. So I think it's safe to say that Cedric Mullins is back this year. Yeah. Colton Cowser is kind of regressing a little bit to like what he probably should be doing. He had a kind of like a quote unquote bad week, but he's hitting .278, .316, .444 over the last week. So it's more like he's just coming back down to earth instead of just hitting everything out of the park. And Jordan Westberg kind of flying under the radar. He's hitting .317, .379, .600 with 4 homers and 2 steals on the season. Like, I don't know if anybody saw that coming from Jordan Westberg. Did you?
No. I also didn't think he was going to be playing full time, but there's just no hope for 30 homer upside out of right-handed hitters in that ballpark anymore.
Yeah. He's a good player though, and he's right
Yeah,
now he's
he's
making it
good.
work. We're finally getting the power because last year he had no power in the majors. In the minors, he had like 24 homers or 25 homers, so something like that, in two-thirds of a season. And then when he got up to the majors, it just disappeared. And you're like, what? Where'd that go?
I would say I would love him in like a points league, but if you're just chasing regular 5x5 roto, there's some power. The power is going to leave something to be desired, I think.
Yep, Tyler Wells is out. Albert Suarez is in for now, rather than Cade Povich. I saw a lot of people picking up Cade Povich in some of my deeper leagues this week, but my guess is that Povich is not coming up because Means and Bradish look to be close. Like Means looks really close. I think his rehab time is near over. He only has 30 days of rehab time in the minors. So has to be back up in like a week or two. Whereas Bradish had a decent start, I think, in high A. He'll probably make like three or four more of those before he's back. But when you have those guys pretty close, I don't think you need to rush up other prospects.
Have you seen how John Means is throwing in the minors?
Not good, right?
It's worse than not good. His most recent start, he went one third of an inning, 5 hits, 5 earned, 1 walk, 2 homers, 34 pitches, 19 strikes. He has an 18 and a half ERA through 4 rehab starts.
Well, it's a good thing that they have Cade Povich as a backup then. Boston Red Sox, it's basically all lefties now because Story's out. Tyler O'Neill got hurt. Like, I don't know if you've seen this lineup, but with the exception of Cedane Rafaela, it's all lefties. Duran,
That is.
Devers, Casas, Abreu,
Oh.
Reese McGuire, Emmanuel Valdez, and David Hamilton, all lefties.
Before we started recording, you mentioned the injuries. We have to mention Casas got hurt today. I think he got an oblique thing.
I
He's
saw
probably.
that he got pulled today, but we
Yeah.
don't really know what's up. But man, the Red Sox and the White Sox both are just getting wrecked right now. Willie Abreu looking better, so there is some hope, I guess, with some things with the Red Sox. Bullpen is going to get worked because Pivetta and Whitlock are both out right now, and it sounds like both of them are going to be back after their like minimum 15-day stay that pitchers have to do on the IL. But be on the lookout for, we talked about it last time, our boy Dick Fitz might be coming up. He's actually looking pretty good in the minors. And Isaac Coffey also is a name to watch out for the Red Sox. And Kenley Jansen, dude, is like opposite Cambrell right now. Cambrell is looking like his best he's ever looked almost. And then Kenley, he's just walking a ton of guys. It's kind of scary.
Didn't Kenley have like an injury in spring training?
He didn't even ha he I think he pitched like one game in spring. He like barely had a spring training because he was hurt, and he's like, I'm gonna make opening day. And I think he just came in like the last week and pitched like one inning. He's like, up, I'm
He
ready.
got a he got the save. Oh no. I was gonna say, yeah, he got the save today.
Yeah, he's been knocking saves down, but that walk rate is like, ooh, it's up there.
He's
Last
a,
time I looked,
he's
it was like
always
16% or something.
He's always posted pretty shitty ratios, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be walking one out of every five batters as a closer. Chicago White Sox signed Tommy Pham. We'll see when he's up. I think he has some opt-out clause in his contract that says that if he's not up by April 25th, he's allowed to cancel the contract. So we'll see how that goes.
I saw something else where if he's up by like up by a certain date, he gets a $3.5 million bonus, or his contract goes up, or something like that.
He's got performance incentives throughout the entire contract, all based on plate appearances. So, like, he makes more money. The more he plays, the more money he makes, basically, up to like 400 plate appearances or something. Eloy's back in the lineup. Andrew Vaughn not looking good. I think he's just like a blah player. I thought that when he first came up too. Gavin Sheets showing some power, even though he's in a platoon, kind of like O'Hearn. basically he is like the White Sox O'Hearn right now. 12.5% barrel rate, 90.5 average EV, 31% line drive rate, which is nice. Rotation notes for the White Sox. They're running six-man rotation right now with Nick Nastrini and Jonathan Cannon. I say yes to Nastrini. I say no to Jonathan Cannon. And Michael Kopech, he blew a save, but, I mean, he's by far their best reliever, so I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, I can't imagine they give that job to anybody else. He's poor man's poor man's Mason Miller.
Yeah,
by default closer.
Yeah, exactly. Guardians, Stephen Kwan is hitting 354, but I'd be selling that because he's got a 391 BABIP. So that ain't gonna stay. And he's only got a 2.8% barrel rate with less than an 85 EV. Jose Ramirez, not looking good. Only 2.4% walk rate right now with a 48.8% chase. So like JRAM every year has these like slow starts, right? It's like almost like a Guardians thing. They had Carlos Santana doing that for the longest time too. And now it's been JRAM. Is this just a JRAM slow start, Raymond? Or is JRAM finally getting old? Because he's 31 this year. And even when he's been slow in the past, he was still walking. Like he was still fine in points leagues because he was still walking. So like, what's up with Ramirez?
I've been afraid that he's been falling off ever since. Do you remember he had like that really bad second half and really bad first half?
Yeah.
And then like,
that's like two or three years ago.
Yeah. Then he just came back. Like nothing ever happened. He was just the same old, but yeah, I've been afraid that the cliff was coming, and until it happens for maybe even longer than a full season, I think he'll be fine. It's cold in Cleveland. They've been playing all over the Midwest. Like, he'll be all right. And yeah, I think there's some encouraging things happening with that lineup. So
I was going to say, it's not slowing your boy Josh Naylor down. He just hit another bomb today. And did you see his celebration? He hit himself in the head with the baseball bat. Yeah.
Dude, I have Josh Naylor in all three of my Yahoo teams. So when he hits a home run, I can just count him. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, he's fun. I like Naylor. He's a fun player. Bo, on the other hand, the K rate is off right now. So 38.5% K rate. That's high for somebody who's, I mean, like he's usually like I don't really want to call him three true outcomes, but he's a high walk and high K guy generally, like 20-20. But he's usually not striking out this much. So
I am encouraged how much he's been playing lately though. So I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, should be. Like I noted before on other podcasts in my other notes, he is like still worlds better against lefties than Austin Hedges, just being like an average hitter against lefties.
Yeah, but like you don't want your catcher playing every day unless you're like JT Realmuto or Salvador Perez, so, or Adley, I guess now. Like
no, but he's too good to be like in a platoon still. Like if you can, better than a platoon.
I mean, most catchers only play 2/3 of the time anyway. So like if you just let him sit against lefties, whatever.
I think good catchers start more like 80% of the time. Like your Will Smiths and
yeah,
Real, but this Muto, is his, Real Muto plays like 95% or more of the time.
This is his first full season, right? And
yeah,
they have a veteran guy that I'm sure is great behind the plate and calling games. And so I think it's fine. It. He'll be fine.
That's it. Rotation notes, Tanner Bibee. K rate is down 4%. Even though the stuff numbers look the same as last year, it's kind of weird. So, and the walk rate is up 4%, even though he's actually throwing more strikes this year. So maybe the issue with Bibee is like he's just throwing too much in the zone. I don't know. That's only really the only thing I can think of is that he's throwing too much in the zone and not enough away in the zone getting swinging strikes out of the zone.
George Kirby problem.
Sense. Yeah. Tristan McKenzie actually had a rebound the other day against Oakland. I wrote this before the game against Oakland, but he actually looked okay yesterday. So hopefully that's.
Did you see he's pitching with a torn ligament in his elbow?
No, I did not. Is that why he was hurt though the last year? And he was just resting it, or what was the?
I thought it was a shoulder last year, right?
Mm-hmm. I want to say it was a shoulder.
Let me find this.
Class A is just looking good, looking classy. Detroit Tigers, Kerry Carpenter moved up to third in the lineup. Torkelson swapped back to fourth. I feel like they just change their lineups a lot. Like, you're the Tigers fan here, Raymond. Is that just me, or does Hinch shuffle the lineup around?
No, quite a bit? He does quite a bit, especially when three of your four best hitters are lefties. So I think Riley Green is going to lead off no matter what, now that Austin Meadows has been atrocious. And then I think you'll see Torque hitting third against, I don't know, when he gets going, I think you'll see him hitting third again, just so you can kind of stagger the lefty-righty-lefty thing. But I don't think it matters a ton. Carpenter's been on fire.
Yeah. Colt Keith should be hitting better. 245 BABIP, even though he's got an 80% contact rate and 89% zone contact. So he should be hitting better than he is.
I've actually been watching a lot of Tigers games for the first season in like a decade, and he always has good at bats. Like, and it seems like he's just hitting the ball right at people. So I think he'll be fine. He's been on record saying like once he gets to a new level, he kind of treads water for a little bit, and then he gets his timing down, and then he starts getting out in front of the ball again, and that's when he starts hitting for power. So
he's
I'm
still
not
hitting it hard. He's just hitting it on the ground a little more than average.
Right. So in Dynasty, I'm definitely not panicking. In redraft, keep him on your bench if you can.
Yeah. I mean, for redraft, I kind of thought he'd be like a league average player this year anyway.
Yeah.
More or less like a league average starter. Rotation knows Jack Flaherty's K to walk metrics are like insane, but it's weird because he's still giving up he's giving up like over 20, I think it's 22% home run to fly ball rate or something. So he's giving up a ton of homers for pitching in a ballpark that's supposed to suppress that. I don't know if that's something you've noticed, Raymond, about Flaherty.
He gave up two solo shots to like that random dude from the Twins last weekend. And then I don't know. I thought he looked really good his last start. He just kind of got unlucky, but dude, he had 10 Ks.
Yeah.
And I think that fly ball rate will normalize, but yeah, he looks good. I can't believe it. I was touting him just to troll you all off season. And now he actually looks good.
It works. Yeah. Just anytime anyone leaves the Cardinals, they're going to get significantly better. I'm just
anytime. That and anytime somebody comes to the Tigers, they're gonna look good,
especially for pitching. Reese Olsen,
for pitching,
14% swinging strike rate, but only a 19% K rate. That doesn't make sense. He should be striking out. If you have a 14% swinging strike rate, he should have like a 25% K rate. So he should be striking out like way more guys. I don't know. You're the Tigers fan. Is he just not finishing guys on the third pitch, or what's going on there?
Yeah, I can't explain that one. He looked really good Monday against the Rangers of all teams. Couldn't believe that. And then he looked kind of average today, but still pretty good. I don't know. I think the strikeouts will come.
Yeah. Astros have Yordan hitting second now. Yennier Diaz only has a 4.6% barrel rate to start the season. And Chaz McCormick has been off a tick. We all thought that with Dusty Baker gone, he was really going to take off this year, and it just hasn't really happened. He has zero barrels to start the season. Rotation notes for the Astros. Justin Verlander is back to save the day because that rotation is terrible. Six innings, four Ks, only two earned runs yesterday. And then Josh Hader nailed down his second save yesterday after a messy one the outing before. Kansas City Royals, Michael Garcia's batting average. Just kind of ignore it. BABIP is 170. Vinny P, he was on fire this week. 429, 514, 929 slash with three bombs for Vinny P this week. Rotation for the Royals. If you can sell Seth Lugo, do it, because his ERA is like one something, but his CRS 475 and his K minus walk rate is only 6.9. So if you have Lugo in a league, I would sell him if you can. And pen notes for the Royals, James MacArthur rolling right now with four saves. So Will Smith, see ya, he gone. James MacArthur is just rolling with it. LA Angels, they finally listen to me, Raymond.
You've been saying it for a year and a half.
Yes. A Hoppy's hitting fifth, and he's got a 171 WRC plus so far this year. Taylor Ward on a tear, six bombs. I just don't think he's going to be a 30-plus homer guy. Like, I think he could hit in the high 20s, but I don't see him hitting, like, 35 bombs or something. So, like, I would not expect that. Rotation notes, Jose Soriano, he throws hard, but I'm not really sure what to make of him yet. Griffin Canning looks bad this year. Tyler Anderson, that's another sell. He had another good start the other day, inexplicably. He has a 4.72 Sierra and a 9.8% K rate. He is not an under 2 ERA guy. So if you have him, I would sell him because that's not what he is. While Reed Detmers, dude, he just looks elite right now. Like, Detmers looks like a top 30 starter pretty easy. 35.2% K minus walk rate. And how he's doing it is more fastballs and changeups this year. And then the fastball is just better. He's got more rise on it, more spin. Carlos Estevez, I don't know how he keeps getting saves. 461 Sierra. So I don't know. He's making it work, I guess.
Any stock up too. There's nobody else, right? Like,
yeah, Stevenson's gone. So
Stevenson just got hurt.
Season, yeah. So he's basically locked in, unless they get Jose Soriano or whatever back in the pen, then that's an option because he throws 99 or whatever. Minnesota Twins, I was talking about Ryan Jeffers as a under-the-radar catcher all offseason, and he's looking good. This week, 414, 452, 759 slash with two bombs, and he's basically doing what he did last year, except now he has full-time playing time, whereas last year he was splitting time with Vasquez. And Trevor Larnach, he's back in a platoon, and sadly, he's their cleanup hitter right now. So the dude couldn't even make their opening day roster, and now he's their cleanup hitter. But such is life as a Twins fan.
Dude, they sent down Wallner or whatever. He was like 1 for 37 or something. I feel like the Tigers have played the Twins like 10 times already. I know way too much about the Twins. And then, like, I think, was that the Reese Olson start or the Flaherty start where he was, they had him down 0-2 and just piped a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. Middle, and he took him deep. Like, yeah, don't do that. I think it was Flaherty.
Wallner and Larnach are basically the same guy, I want to say.
Just one was cold and one was hot.
Yeah, exactly. Joe Duran is throwing bullpens, should be back soon, probably first week in May. New York Yankees, Anthony Volpe is just so good. Like, I don't know how he got this good just in one offseason, but his hit tool went from like his contact rate went from like 70% to almost like 90%. He is probably like, if what he's doing right now is real, he's going to be like a better Trey Turner in his career.
He said this offseason he wanted to start hitting more line drives to eliminate the too many fly balls, just the flukiness of himself as a hitter. And seems like he figured it out. I'm buying it. I don't have him anywhere.
If you're in a dynasty league, buy the shit out of it.
Yeah, buy.
In our NLI league, someone, I think, could have kept him in like the 24th or the 22nd round or something like that. And then
Tristan
threw him back.
Yeah. Or Taylor. I can't keep those fucking guys straight for my life, but I think it was Taylor.
Yeah, threw him back. That's so rough. Like, now someone picked him in the third round, so his stock
is gone.
Marcus Stroman down in velo by two ticks and only has an 11% K minus walk. Sell him if you can. Luis Gil, everyone thought he's a god. 9.8% K minus walk rate, 5.15 Sierra. Sell while you can. Clay Holmes, though, seven saves. So Clay Holmes looking pretty.
Dude, it cracks me up. I think I mentioned before my Twitter algorithm is accidentally super tuned into the Yankees because they have the angriest fans on the planet, and like, he's been so good and they still hate him so much. It's so funny.
Yes, that's New York. Athletics, Ross Stripling is quietly the best starter on the Athletics. So anyone who is going for J.P. Sears or Joe Boyle or any of those guys, it's actually Ross Stripling. That's the one. Bullpen, just this is going to be the one guy we talk about every week. It's just Mason Miller because nobody else on that team matters unless Gayloff like goes on a tear.
But he's batting third now. That's all I was going to mention.
Yeah, Mason Miller, 45.9% strikeout rate and a 40.3% CSW.
Dude, I think I have a Raymondism about him. He's thrown like 106 of the 107 hardest thrown pitches in the majors this year or something crazy like that.
I believe it. This is Seattle Mariners. I was going to say, like, I think he probably has more fastballs than any professional pitcher besides Paul Skeens, like over 100. Those two guys.
It has to be.
Yeah. Seattle Mariners. Jonathan Clase was called up starting left field, not looking good. Kind of reminds me of a Sadane Rafaela or a Jose Siri type. Hit tool is probably not going to be there. J-Rod, just rough start. What do you think about J-Rod, dude?
I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried. I mean, if I could buy, I will.
Yeah.
We talked about like the toolsy hitters kind of sometimes take a little bit longer or are flukier.
Yeah. Well, J-Rod and Acuna had similar starts, but Acuna's starting to come around now. Rotation notes for the Mariners, Bryce Miller and George Kirby are basically like opposite luck. Bryce Miller's looking really good right now, but he's got a 172 BABIP against, so he's probably going to regress negatively. George Kirby has a 664 ERA, but a 364 Sierra. So if you can buy George Kirby, someone's pissed off about his 6 ERA, then go do it. Pen notes, Andres Munoz has a 33.3% K rate, but the walk rate is still really high, 13%. Tampa Bay Rays, Junior Caminero, do better be coming up soon, but I just don't know what they're going to do with Paredes. Like, do you think they're going to move Paredes to second base full time? And then, like, what do they do with Lau when Lau comes back? Because Paredes has been their best hitter. You can't, like, what are you going to do? Your best prospect and your best hitter play the same position.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do some Rays shit and trade somebody they shouldn't, because in 2.5 years or 3 years, he's going to be a free agent or something, but they'll figure it out. They always do. I mean, they platoon more than anybody anyway, so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it makes the most sense to move him to second, and then
everyone,
and then Lau can DH or something.
Just one of those where like everyone gets 80% playing time, kind of situations until somebody else gets hurt.
Yep. Rays know what they're doing with pitchers. All their pitchers look insane. I'm just gonna leave it at that. Savali, Pepio, even Zach Liddell, like
Littell.
They're all like fire. So whatever, it's just what they do. And then Fairbanks say Fairbanks sucks, self-admittedly. So if you haven't seen that video, Texas Rangers. Evan Carter has been in a platoon. Like he hits third and he's looking pretty good on like an OBP OPS level, but then like he only has 10 at bats against lefties this year. Like, why would you do that to a top prospect? Like, if you have a top 5-10 prospect, why are you going to platoon them and not expose them to all pitchers so they improve?
I don't remember who I heard talking about this, but like, oh, it was Zeno Saris. He was talking about how left-handed hitters coming up all the way through their entire lives don't face enough left-handed pitchers until they get to the majors. And it's just, they just don't see it. And so I don't know what the solution is, but this is we were just talking about it with Bo Naylor. This is a league-wide issue, and I think it's going to continue to be frustrating for fantasy players, especially with the young players.
Yep. Dum da dum dum dum.
There's a reason like completely average right-handed hitters can make a career out of playing 70 games a year against lefties and hitting 20 home runs or whatever.
Yeah. Rangers rotation notes, Jack Leiter was here and then he wasn't.
He gone. I think they just needed a fresh arm in the bullpen. I wouldn't be surprised if he's back in 10 days or whatever.
Yeah, especially if Lorenzen keeps getting blown up like he did in his first start. And then Kirby Yates is the closer now. Two saves for the Rangers. Toronto Blue Jays. George Springer, 230 BABIP. He should be better. So if you want, you want to buy low on someone, George Springer might be a good guy to do that with, especially because he's older too. So older guy with a bad BABIP, I think Springer is a buy.
And like older guy, bad BABIP in a place that it is currently cold. Like slow starts, man. Just wait till it warms up.
I think a dome.
It doesn't matter.
Playing in ice.
They're in Canada. It's cold there.
Dalton Varsho. 216 BABIP, but he still has four bombs. We'll talk about him later. Justin Turner, the bat that will never age. 39 years old, and he's hitting 333, 424, 519. Stud. Vlad Jr., 226 BABIP. Buy low if you can. Rotation notes, Kevin Gausman, 384 Sierra against an 816 ERA. So we were chatting with Gabe about this week. Are you buying Kevin Gausman if you can?
Yeah, I would. I definitely would.
Jordan Romano, he's back. He's closing. So no more Shane Green. National League, Arizona Diamondbacks. Corbin Carroll, I think he's going to be fine. People are freaking out about how he has like no power yet this year, but he's got a 246 BABIP. So, and he still has eight steals. Corbin Carroll's going to be fine. Jordan Montgomery made his debut same day as Verlander. I don't know how he, how did he finish, Raymond? When I was writing this last night, I was up till like 1 a.m. And usually I go to bed way earlier. I'm an old man. But Jordan Montgomery, 2 Ks, 0 walks, 0 runs through 3 at the time of my
He writing. Went 6 innings. Gave up 2, earned 4 hits, 3 Ks.
Solid.
No walks.
Solid outing. Kevin Gingle, still the closer there. Atlanta Braves, Albies is out. We'll talk about that later. Michael Harris hitting second. This is what we talked about. This is the Harris dream is for Ozzie Albies to get. If you have Harris shares and no Albies shares, you want Albies to get hurt.
It's bad.
It's bad.
You never wish for injuries, but I was driving around the other day thinking about how mad I am that Albies got hurt. And then I was like, you know what? I have Michael Harris, I think, on 3 teams. I'm going to choose to be happy that he's now batting second rather than mad that Albies broke his toe.
That's right. Darius Vines replaced Spencer Strider. Probably just going to hold that spot for a few weeks until AJ Smith-Shawver's ready would be my guess. If you could buy Chris Sale, still do it. Sierra's under 3. He's straight dealing. Looks like a top 20 starter again right now.
Did you see that video of him just carving up Corey Seager yesterday?
Yeah. I love watching Sale pitch because his arm looks like a trebuchet. Just slings it in there.
Right. Just completely horizontal.
Yeah. Max Fried, 3.8% K minus walk rate in a contract season. I don't know. He might be toast. I heard someone, this might have also been Eno, speculating that Fried is just pitching injured because it's a contract season. Like he's still not healthy, but he's just
going
through it.
I heard somebody else say that the fact that the Braves didn't offer him an extension speaks volumes too. Like they extend everybody early, and the fact that they haven't is probably meaningful.
Yeah. Raisel Iglesias, 5 saves, but he looks bad. 12% K rate only. That's terrible. With the 23% CSW. Stay away.
Chris Johnson. Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago Cubs. Garrett Cooper is starting now. I told you, dude. Garrett Cooper. he's starting now, and he's hot right now. Michael Busch is on fire, 19% barrel rate. I do not expect that to stick around. 19% barrel rate over the course of a season would be insane. Christopher Morel will probably positively regress, 231 BABIP, so I'd buy. And don't get me wrong, I would not be selling Michael Busch unless someone's trading you like a superstar for him, just because I think he's good. But like, if you can get someone that's really, really good for Michael Busch, then I'd probably do it. If someone's going to trade you, who's off to a slow start? Someone's going to say trade you. I'm not going to say J-Rod. Who's really good but off to a slow start?
George Springer.
Okay. Springer for Michael Busch. I'd do that. I would trade Bush for Springer.
Especially in five outfielder leagues. Yeah. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's a good deal. Talking about bad BABIPs. Belly, 200 BABIP. Career BABIP is 283. So Bellinger should be better. Don't think that he's just toast. Jameson Taillon is back. Looked strong yesterday. 5 innings, 4 Ks, 0 walks. No runs. Shota Imanaga, still dealing. So all good there. Albert Alzolay looking okay at closer. 3 saves. Cincinnati Reds. Dude, what's up with Hymer? What's up with our boy Candy?
He was just scuffling, and then he came back, he homered, and then he caught some flu that the Reds are circulating, so he missed like 3 days. Yeah, he hasn't played since Monday, but the 3 days before he got sick, he went 1 for 4, 2 for 5, 1 for 3 with a bomb, and 3 RBIs over that stretch, so I think he's coming out of it, and then he got sick, so he'll be fine.
Good.
Ellie. You can only be so bad in that ballpark. Ellie is.
True. Yeah, 6 homers and 10 steals. I think it's hilarious that people thought that we're like selling Ellie and like not wanting him this year. I was drafting him anywhere you could in the second round. Like the dude is a freak of nature. It doesn't even matter if he's not hitting. He's still like he'll still get a hold of a few, and every time he gets on base, he's gonna steal bags. So dude is just a freak of nature. CES, he's terrible, dude. I told you. That's all I'm gonna say.
He's not terrible. He's also sick.
He looks atrocious. Will Benson, all tools, no hit tool. Rotation, Nick Lodolo, another killer start. I love Lodolo. Hunter Green. That's one that is taking me by surprise, dude. I've always been a Lodolo over Hunter Green guy because you have to compare them, right? You have to compare everybody. But Hunter Green, I did not expect him to be this good this year. 133 stuff plus. That's second in baseball. 22.8% K minus walk rate. And the CRS 310. Are you buying Hunter Green or would you be selling him right now?
I'd be trying to sell high. That stuff plus is, that is insane. But I mean, he's always had insane stuff. It's been the walk rate and his fastball getting murdered. So, yeah, I'd be selling. I don't know.
Yeah. Alexis Diaz, rough start, 12.1 K minus walk, 394 Sierra. What do you think about Diaz? Is it cold weather? Is he going to be better moving forward? Was he just not as good as he looked last year? What do you think?
I think it's a combination of all of those things. I think he was dominant in the first half and then overused a little bit and kind of regressed a little bit in the second half. So maybe he's more of like an average closer, top 20 rather than top 10 that we thought he was. But
yeah,
I mean, relievers are innately small sample sizes. So however you're chunking it, half a season is, you know, 6 starts for a starter. So no, I think it'll be fine. Relievers have swings like that.
Yeah. Rockies. Jordan Beck, we'll talk about him later. Brenton Doyle, 378 BABIP. Are you in on Doyle? Because I just think he's Harrison Bader.
Yeah, I had him in one of my five outfielder leagues, and I dropped him the first week of the season for Stephen Kwan, who somehow didn't get drafted. And so that was my only exposure. I think he's waiver wire fodder by the summer.
Would you be buying Nolan Jones right now?
Yes. Somebody dropped him in my 10-team league. Picked him up immediately. What are you doing?
That's crazy. The contact rate is actually better this year. As it's
10-team teams are insane. 10-team leagues are insane.
He is hitting the ball on the ground too much, though, and he's not barreling it as well as he did last year. But I still think that he should be a 250 hitter who can go 20-20. So...
Okay.
Rotation notes, Ryan Feltner. Dude, have you been watching this guy? A Rockies there might be a good Rockies pitcher. 18.9% K minus walk, 346 Sierra. And his best start was
at home. No, I haven't been watching that guy. I'm not as plugged into the West Coast as I used to be because I have kids now and I go to bed much, much earlier.
I'm the same. But the Cardinals have been playing like all West Coast games to start the season. So I've been up late. Dodgers, top of the lineup. It's just everyone knew it. But Ohtani is hitting 360, 400, 640 with four homers and five steals. Páez is playing every day, which is surprising to me because I thought that he'd be like a fourth outfielder. Rotation notes.
They straight up came out and said Chris Taylor's losing most of his starting role and is just straight up bench.
He should. He looks terrible. He's old. Yeah. He's old. He's past his prime now. He's too old.
Yeah.
He might be his last year. James Paxton looks terrible. I'd sell if you can. Landon Knack came up decent first outing. Five innings, four Ks, one walk. Miami Marlins, Brian De La Cruz is hitting second, but I don't think he's as good as he's looking right now. He's just on a tear. He hit another homer. He's hit like three homers in a row or something like that. I think he had another one today. Jesus Luzardo looking good. However, the walk rate is higher this year than last year. Edward Cabrera, the killer first outing. Just that's one outing, one sample size. Don't go crazy on Edward Cabrera. Raymond, are you going crazy on Edward Cabrera?
I'm not going crazy, but if I think there's the worst player on your bench, it's definitely worth dropping in case he figured it out. When we had Paul, right, on, when we were talking about pitchers.
Yeah,
Spore. I said Paul Spore, yeah. I'm terrible names. He said, or I said, that there's a Robbie Ray season coming where he just figures out how to throw strikes. And yes, it was one start, but he looked really good.
Yeah. Ryan Weathers has a 30.5% CSW. Stuff Plus is 103 on total and a 109 on the fastball. And fastball has some very nice characteristics to it. So Weathers could be a dude. Looks like Puck is going to be out of the rotation soon. So good for him.
Well, didn't you say Puck got hurt?
Yeah, but we're not to injuries yet, Raymond. That's fine.
Hypothesizing.
Yeah. Milwaukee Brewers, Sal Frelick is leading off now. Chorio's hitting ninth. Chorio's kind of doing what I predicted and doing the whole Volpe from last year thing. Hopefully he does the Volpe of this year thing next year.
Did you see what Chorio did today?
No. The Cardinals, they're beating the Cardinals like 7-4, and I just turned it off. I couldn't.
He 2-for-3, three runs, home run, two RBIs, and a steal. I think he's batting leadoff by June at the latest.
Maybe. Is that the best place for him to hit? It might be better for him to hit second with Frelick in front. Yeah.
Okay, he's batting at the top. Maybe not leadoff, but.
William Contreras, 13.7% barrel rate, 95.4% average EV. Just
best catcher in baseball?
Yeah, he might be. Sal Frelick. We already talked about him. Rotation notes, do not buy Joe Ross. And Ashby has been complete trash, even in the minors, so he's probably not going to be a thing. Dale Hall looks pretty bad, too. So I really don't know. The Brewers are a really good team. And they're so good, but their rotation sucks. They're going to have to trade for a starter, even though they traded Burns. Like, all they had to do is just keep Burns, and this wouldn't be an issue. But they traded Burns, Burns and Peralta are two of the three best starters in baseball right now. Freddie Peralta, 181 Sierra, 36.4% K minus walk rate. And I predicted for him to win the NL Cy Young. Looks like that's looking like it might happen. And Joel Piamps, in tribute to your name on StreamYard, is the closer now, two saves. And your StreamYard name is, maybe I was wrong about Admir Uribe. I think he's fine, dude. Did you see that play? He made a really great defensive play the other day.
Yeah, that was sick.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. Uribe's good. He's young, you know? Give him a minute.
Yeah. You take victory laps. You gotta take your lumps, too. So, yeah, they both looked kind of meh. But if they just split the work until Williams comes back, I think they're both rosterable.
Yeah,
I have them both.
Williams for a starter.
I have them both on multiple teams.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Handcuff. Even if it's an accident, because nobody knew Devin Williams was going to get hurt. So
Uribe got dropped in my home league today. I think I might pick him up.
Yeah. New York Mets, Starling Marte back in shape. Unit age 35. Looks like he's having a solid season. Frankie Alvarez. He was in a rough patch and now he's hurt. So see you.
We'll talk. Starling Marte had a baller game too. Combo meal, two runs, homer, steal, four RBIs.
Yeah, we'll just talk about these injuries now. Frankie Alvarez had to get a thumb surgery. You said he's out 6 to 8 weeks. AJ Puck, since we just talked about the Marlins, is out with a shoulder injury of some sort. So he gone. And Max Meyer, by the way, pitched today and looked really good. And he went five innings, I think, when they said he was only going to go three innings. I don't know. Marlins are just
trash organization.
Yeah, and then you said Gio Urshela hurt his hamstring, and you watched that one. So,
I assume it's a hamstring. He hurt something in his lower body.
Yeah,
running Jose, to first base.
Other Mets thing, Jose Budo. We'll talk about him later. Philadelphia Phillies. Bryce Harper has a .239 BABIP right now, even though his career BABIP is .322. So he'll be fine. Don't worry about him. Trey Turner is starting hot this season, so like he's not repeating the last season where he was slow. Because that could have been a cold weather type deal, but he just is right into it right now. So no worries on Trey Turner. Aaron Nola is looking a little rough, though. 10.4 K minus walk rate, 437 Sierra for Aaron Nola. Philly's bullpen has not looked that good. I think Kirkering long term is the play here. Hoffman and Alvarado have both kind of just been like meh. Like,
I thought Hoffman has been pretty good.
He has like a high three ERA, I think.
And every time I listen to the
4 ERA,
every time I listen to the CBS podcast, they're talking about how he got another save.
And he's overrated. But then again, there's bad pit players getting saves. Look at Finnegan and SFS.
ERA is two. Even 2.00.
What's the Sierra?
I don't have that in front of me.
Now I have to look. Jeff Hoffman. Jeff Hoffman only has a 10.8% K minus walk rate. That's terrible. And a 408 Sierra. So no, he is not good.
Yeah.
Yes, he has one save. Yes. He has a 5 walk per 9. So no, he's not good. 304 BABIP. So he's like, there's no luck involved in any of that. He's just not as good as he has been. Pittsburgh Pirates. Cabron Hayes is rolling. Except 57% ground ball rate, so that sucks. I thought he was going to hit for power this year.
They fired the hitting coach that fixed him. Did you hear that story?
No. Why would they do that?
Because apparently, like, it was not the major league hitting coach. It was either like some assistant at some minor league, or like a different coach that he wasn't supposed to necessarily like learn from. And so they kind of like went off on their own on the side and worked together. And that was his second half breakout last year when he started hitting for power. And they're like, well, dude, I mean, if it makes me better, like, do you really think they're going to be this mad about it? And then they fired the coach. And so, yeah, they were that mad about it because they're the Pirates. They don't do anything right. So, yeah, I don't know.
Jones. O'Neill Cruz is overrated. I'm just going to say it. I've been saying it. 40% K rate this year. He has a 64 WRC plus. All he does is hit monster home runs. He hits the ball hard. That's all he can do. Which is good sometimes, but ask Joey Gallo how that goes if that's your one thing you do well. Jared Jones, top 10 starter, Raymond. 34.1% K minus walk rate, 199 Sierra. Would you call Jared Jones a top 10 starter?
Yeah, I think that's a lot easier to do after, you know, three out of the top 12 got hurt. But, yeah, dude, he looks ridiculous. You have here, where was he hiding in the minors? His walk rate was through the roof in the minors. So either he fixed something and is dominant and a whole new guy, or those walks are coming and he's not actually this good. I hope it's the first one.
Yeah, hopefully. He's just way better this year. Even in the minors, his K rates were like 26 to 28%, not 36%. So he's just a lot better. He just improved a ton. He always had a good fastball, but not like a amazing fastball. San Diego Padres, Jake Cronenworth, still killing it. Fernando Tatis, still looking good. If anybody's going to give Ellie a run for the money with MVP type numbers this year, it might be Tatis or Otani. I think those are the two guys. I mean, Acuna can just go on a tear, but the way that Ellie's rolling right now, like with power speed numbers, he might just bank MVP. I don't know. Rotation notes, Joe Musgrove under the hood. He looks a lot better than if you're just looking at his numbers, because he has an 8% K minus walk rate and a 471 Sierra, but he's a 114 stuff plus, which is 15th in baseball. So how does someone with a 114 stuff plus only have an 8% K minus walk rate? Something is just not right with, like, I don't know if it's the way the pitches are being called, or like pitch mix is just not working, but the pitches should theoretically be playing with that kind of stuff plus. So I don't know. I think he's going to be fine. Pen notes, Robert Suarez, 383 Sierra. So there's another below average reliever for you. San Francisco Giants, Matt Chapman destroying the ball, 93 average EV, 13.3% barrel rate, but only a 214 BABIP. Giants notes, Jordan Hicks is not as good as he looks, 13.8% K minus walk rate only with a 374 Sierra, where Kyle Harrison is better than he looks, 20.6% K minus walk rate and 352 Sierra. So Harrison looking good. Hicks, while he looks good, he's just not as good as he looks. And Blake Snell, what's up with Snell, dude? He's getting rocked. I think it's just having no spring. Like, that's what it has to be, right?
I mean, he's always been, yeah, he's always been volatile. But yeah, probably no spring, new team. I don't know. I've never liked Blake Snell, so it's going to be really hard for me to defend him.
Yeah. Cardinals, the offense looks terrible. I'll just put it that way. Mason Wynn and Contreras and Ivan Herrera are about it. Nubars looked good, 214 BABIP so far, though, but Goldie, Arenado, Gorman, not good. Sonny Gray's looking stellar. And Ryan Helsley is looking good. So that's about it for Cardinals. Nationals, Luis Garcia. Dude, how's this guy only 24 years old? Luis Garcia. I feel like he's been around forever, don't you? Doesn't seem like he's been around for like 10 years. I feel like he came up with Robles or whatever, and they just both, like, I don't know. Guy's just been around forever. They're calling him like Mini Acuna back when he was like 20 or 19 or whatever it was they called him up. Bylane Thomas looks legit, running a lot. 214 BABIP. I'm buying that 214 BABIP. Jesse Winker. Dude, is Jesse Winker really this good again? Or, like, what's up with him?
They said he's finally healthy. And, like, maybe most of the last two-ish years have been him trying to play through things. I don't think he's this good. Especially where the steals coming from. What is going on with that?
Yeah, that's weird.
I think he might be back to his, like, best years, though. Like, where was in Seattle? What was that where he hit, you know, 25-ish home runs, hit, like, 280?
Since he was where he was good, man, when he was in the Reds. Well, but yeah, that's also that great ballpark. Right. But he's only 30 still. Like, he's not old.
You're right.
He has a few years left. If he still had time to turn his career around. So, like, I don't think he's a 180 WRC plus player like he's showing, but he had seasons where he finished with a 140 WRC plus in Cincinnati. So could he do 130, 120, 130 in Washington? Wouldn't surprise me. I don't think.
And I think Washington's
a good hitter's ballpark.
The best thing for him is that he's going to play every day. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be in the lineup, because what else do they have Nationals going for them?
Yeah. Well, they're just hoping they can trade him, probably.
I think he homered off a lefty the other day, too. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Flip him. CJ Abrams turning into a superstar in Washington. Mackenzie Gore, do you buy this start? 27.7 K minus walk, 260 Sierra.
I buy it more than Hunter Green, for example. I mean, he's been.
Don't tell me you
didn't
trade
he do
Hunter
this
Green for Mackenzie Gore.
No, I wouldn't do that. Didn't he do this last year though? He had like a absolutely baller
yeah.
April and then fell off.
Yes, he did.
So maybe let's see it go into May first, and then I can be all the way in.
May 1st, literally. No. injury notes. We'll fly through these. Strider had internal brace. Max Scherzer, freak of nature, coming back in early May now. Like, that's the best deal of any draft. Anyone who got Max Scherzer at this point is just laughing because they got him so cheap and they're going to get 5 months of him. Ozzie Albies, broken toe, out 2 to 4 weeks only, which is not bad. Rafael Devers, MRI. He needed to get an MRI after colliding with Tyler O'Neill. I think he's fine. Tyler O'Neill went to the IL, of course, because that's what he does. Robert Stevenson out for the season. Bobby Miller had an MRI for structural damage, but they didn't find anything. Garrett Whitlock on the IL with a minor strain in the oblique. Going to be a minimum stay. Yu Darvish hit the IL with tightness in his neck, out for a TBD. Cody Bradford hit the IL with lower back tightness, supposed to be a 15-day thing. Jake Berger placed on the IL with an oblique injury, and he's supposed to be back after right when he's eligible. Barely put him on, apparently. Tyler Wells was placed on the IL for precautionary reasons. So just he's not good. Kyle Friedland put on the IL with an elbow strain, but it's not structural. Sawyer Gibson Long also got internal brace surgery. And Chris Bryant, I almost didn't want to put him on here because he's so irrelevant to most fantasy leagues. But this is probably the last time I'll ever talk about him. So let's do it. He's on the IL. So Chris Bryant, see a fantasy career.
I will say he still has a lot of name recognition. Like last I looked, he was like 30-something% rostered in Yahoo, which is just incredibly too high, especially in Yahoo. So
we do.
It's good you
drop
put him
it.
On here.
Yeah,
drop
I put him on here so people know to drop him.
12
team
traded
adds.
For him.
Oh, and, yeah, I traded for him last year. 12 team adds Dalton Varsho. I cheated. He's 51% and my threshold is 50%, but I've been seeing Varsho get dropped a lot. And so this is kind of a cheat code. I'm biting on this one. 205 BABIP, 4 homers. Like all the metrics are right in line. He just has bad BABIP. So I'm in on Varsho. Number 2, I've got Mitch Haniger. Haniger sitting 292, 370, 477. He's probably more like a 250 or 260 hitter, but even if those numbers drop 30 points, he's good for counting stats hitting fourth for the Mariners. Number 3, Ryan Jeffers. Already talked about him. He's doing what he did last year, but full-time. Number 4, Jose Buto with the Mets. 25% K-minus walk rate, 289 Sierra. So looks good. It's been 2 starts, though, and the 2 starts were versus KC and at Detroit. So pretty decent opponents. I don't know if I'm starting him against the Braves, the Dodgers yet, but I like him. Only 17% owned. First baseman Ryan O'Hearn with the Orioles. We just talked about him. 17.4% barrel rate. Oh, Raymond, you have anyone to add in 12 team leagues to these guys?
No, I think this is a pretty good list. I got O'Hearn on waivers in our 20 team league. In our first waiver run after the draft. And I'm starting to see him. He just got picked up in my 12-team league. I think he might even have got picked up in my 10-team league, which I think is a bit much. But, yeah, dude, he's been really good.
It's a nice grab. 15-team leagues. Number 1, Joel Piamps. He's closing. It's only 29% owned. Go get him if you can. Number 2, shortstop outfielder Ahmed Rosario. Playing every day right now. 10.5% barrel rate is a career best. The contact tools are all career best. He's definitely better than he ever was. And that's what the Rays do. So I think he could go 15-15, especially if he's playing every day. Number 3, Ben Brown, starting pitcher with the Cubs. 31.9% CSW. So he should have a very good K rate moving forward. 4 Sierra, 6 innings last time out. I like Ben Brown. I don't think he's going to be a superstar or whatever, but I think he's going to be a legit number three starter for the Cubs. So if he's your fifth or sixth starter on a fantasy team, that's pretty good. Wouldn't you say, Raymond?
Yeah, I think he'll be useful. I just have this fear of all Cubs pitchers that once it gets warm, they're going to start getting schlacked.
Yeah, it happens.
Which number probably four. Isn't fair.
Why is it not fair?
I don't know. I don't like holding ballpark that much against potentially good pitchers.
Yeah, but it happens. Just look at Reds pitchers in the summer in Great Americans ballpark. Or Rockies pitchers. Right. There's a reason Chase Elander is being pushed down everybody's prospect rankings.
I think I had one Cub pitcher on one team, and it was Ben Brown in a dynasty league, and I just traded him last week. So like, I don't have any Cubs.
Good. They suck.
Screw you, Gabe.
Yeah. Number four, a starting pitcher, Ryan Weathers with the Marlins. We already talked a lot about him. 13% owned. Number five, starting pitcher, Nick Nastrini with the White Sox. I like Nastrini a lot. I think he's going to be a good pitcher. I don't think he's going to be a great pitcher, but I think he's going to be a good pitcher. And he's only 9% owned. So if you need a pitcher, Nick Nastrini is pretty darn good. And last, shortstop, Blaze Alexander with the D-backs. I thought this guy was going to be like a super utility guy, but even with the 406 BABIP, don't take his numbers at face value. I think we've got a good starting player here, Blaze Alexander. Like he's not bad. Got anyone to add, Raymond? Anything to add to this list?
I have one, and you can feel free to yell at me, but we're 20 games-ish into this season, which means we're 2 weeks away from, maybe 3 weeks away from Noelvi Marte going on a minor league assignment because he gets 30 days in the minors. So if you're in a really deep league where, I don't know, a 2020 guy potentially is appealing to you, it might be time to stash him if you are in need of offense, you think.
Yeah, the only thing that sucks is that he has that SUSP next to his name.
Yeah,
he's gonna. That means that you can't put him on the NA spot, and you can't put him in a IL spot. So he's just gonna take up a bench spot for you.
I mean, I'm rocking him in our 20 team league, so I guess that's the bar. Give it a couple weeks, he'll start creeping up to 15, and then a couple more weeks, 12. But yeah, it's just keep it in the back of your mind.
It's a good point. I just picked up Jason Dominguez, and well, I guess we'll talk about it later. My top 10 redraft guys. Number one, Junior Caminero. I think he's up in early May. Number two, Paul Skeens. I think he's up early May, late April, early May. There's something floating around that apparently Paul Skeens is – the Pirates are waiting for Paul Skeens' girlfriend to be done with her
college or whatever. I love the internet. She can be in his first game. I love the internet.
Because that's what all the Pirates care about. The Pirates are all about true love. Number three, Joey Loperfido with the Astros. 10 bombs already. He's not that kind of guy, though. But he's probably going to be up soon if Jake Myers keeps struggling. Number four, Christian Scott with the Mets. Early May, just dealing, straight dealing. 26 Ks and 14 and a third at AAA. Number five, James Wood. I've got him up in mid-May. I had somebody ask me who's going to be up first, Caminero or Wood. I'm definitely going Caminero on that one. Someone was responding to the Prospect One podcast, but I think definitely going Caminero on that one. Number six, starting pitcher Drew Thorpe, late May. I think he's up in late May, even though he's in AA right now. The whole reason he's in AA, I believe, is just that they want him pitching to Edgar Caro, their catcher of the future, and they don't want him at AAA with whoever the hell is there. So, he has a 0.5 ERA, so he's doing well. Number seven, Chase DeLauder. I've moved him down a little bit because he's not been performing very well, and he started in AA instead of AAA this year. So I've got late May, but I might be wrong. He might not even be up until like June or July. The Guardians just do things like that. Number eight, Tyler Black. Dude, Tyler Black is back. He's looking good. 323, 418, 477 slash. only two steals, but looking good. So if the Brewers need a third baseman or a first baseman or a second baseman, or basically if someone gets hurt, Tyler Black is probably coming up, but he's might just be stuck down there until that happens. Number nine.
There's a video of him absolutely flying around the bases for a triple. I think it was Eric Cross put it out. He's saying you'll never find a more athletic first baseman than Tyler Black. And I think calling him a first baseman is probably a bit of a stretch, but maybe that's his.
That might be the spot because he's not very good defensively.
Right. So,
number nine, Jordan Beck with the Rockies, just raking PCL, but still 328, 419, 738 with five homers and a steal.
Isn't La Perfido PCL too? I was going to ask that because.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not a power hitter. He has 10 home runs right now, but like.
He had a three homer game and yeah.
I projected him to be like a 2020 guy. Like if he like, he's also older. He's like 25, but I projected him to be more like a 2020 guy than like a 30 or 40 homer guy. So those homers, like it's, I'm not going to say it's fake, but like 10 homers is not, he's not going to keep that trend going. Number 10, Mason Black with the Giants. Talk about PCL, dude. This dude's pitching in the PCL. And he's got a 198 ERA and a 102 whip, 17 Ks Let's and go. Three walks. He almost made the Giants out of spring, too.
He got there, hurt, like, right? Or he got sick.
No, he didn't get one hurt. One of the two. No, he didn't get hurt. It was between him and – oh, no, Keaton. They were talking about if Keaton Wynn wasn't ready to start.
Right, would have been right.
Because Wynn was hurt during spring.
Right, that's what it was.
But he's dealing in the PCL right now, so –
If we're gonna discredit the hitters for PCLs, we should probably mention Drew Thorpe is throwing with the pre-tac baseball, right? Or are they not doing that anymore?
I don't think they're doing that this year.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. As soon as I started to say that, I'm like, shit.
The AAA, they do have the robo ump though, so that is one thing to note. But that actually might be a point in favor of the AAA pitchers too, because you have to deal with the robo ump, which like you're not gonna get calls outside of the zone. That means so. Moves that we made this week. Memorial Magazine League, I added a $2 Mason win, dropping Tommy Pham. That's before Pham signed, but whatever. I'm cool with it. and $0 Dane Dunning for Andrew Haney. Did you do anything in MML?
No, which is unfortunate because I had like Yelich and Birdie and somebody else all go on the IL all at the same time on like Monday and Tuesday. So I will be making moves this week.
And not only, I did nothing because there's nothing available. There's like nothing to add. So why?
Yeah, what's the point?
TGFBI, I added a $2 Jason Dominguez and dropped Jose Abreu. Do you like that?
Yeah, that's sneaky.
Yeah, he might be back soon. He's apparently going to be starting. They said by the end of April, he might be in the minors, like playing minors games.
That's awesome. I'll probably just be DHing if I had to guess. Maybe the throwing will be a little bit behind. But, I just got Justin Verlander back in TGFBI. I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, that's a nice one to have, especially if you're like me and you lost Shane Bieber.
I lost Yuri.
And I picked Bieber over Verlander. So
I was thinking today, actually, this is 2 years in a row I've lost my fourth round starting pitcher to Tommy John. Last year it was Robbie Ray. This year it's Yuri.
Don't pick pitchers in the fourth round.
I'm taking a hitter. That's what I was just about to say. I'm taking a hitter in the fourth round next year.
Fantasy Aceball Invitational. I had to cut a $4 Robert Stevenson. I did not add anybody yet. Did you do anything in FAI?
No, I haven't made a move in that league in like almost 4 weeks because A, my team is full, and B, my team is loaded.
I knew Podcasters League, no moves. We're just chilling, dude. We're rolling. We're in first.
I keep seeing though, that we're Blessing, losing though, points.
Keeps moving up. Because we had like 105 points, and now we're like 99. Yeah. And Blessing is the closest to us at like 91 or 92 or something. So he's catching on to us a little bit. And you're going to be on the Keeper Cut podcast next week, right?
Tonight, actually, I think. Tonight. I don't know when they drop it, but at least I think it's Keeper Cut. They don't have another podcast, do they?
No.
Okay, yeah. Then, yeah.
Oh, tonight. So you already recorded then?
No. I'm going to stay up till like 2:30 a.m. to do it tonight. Oh, my God. Because they're West Coast. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. I'd be like downing energy drinks.
I don't know if you can still see me, but yeah, there we go. Got one right here. There you go.
That's how it's done. Well, that'll be fun. And you can find me also on Prospect One. I record on Mondays with the
Welsh. Yeah, dude, congrats. You should have you mentioned that on here yet? Shameless plug.
I don't think so. Yeah. I'm co-hosting with the Welsh on Prospect One now. So every week, Welsh and I, Prospect One. Basically, he doesn't want to call it a hot sheet, but basically, like, he's thinking about doing two Prospect One episodes a week moving forward. The one with me where we go over like stats and everything that's going on, and then he wants to kind of keep his like monologue, soliloquies, whatever. Like, I don't know what you want to call it. Yeah, the exactly. Soapbox. Where he goes on his like 30-minute rants or about one player or whatever. So he wants to kind of keep some of those in his back pocket, and so he might do that. And then when Complex League starts, if I ever get some free time, I want to try to get out too, and we might try to get some players and stuff like that on. So it'll be interesting to see what we do there.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But yeah, check that out, Prospect One. Check Raymond out on Keep or Cut podcast on the Pitcherless Network. And then Written Work, you can find the articles over on Fantasy Pros if you want to follow along. You get the prospect article there from me every week, plus the weekly notes that we go over. Basically, in line with this podcast here, you can check that out on the Fantasy Pros. Anything else, Raymond? We got Raymondisms.
Yeah, I got a lot, depending on how many you want.
Let's do three. Your three best.
All right. Well, I kind of just have to scroll through my bookmarks on Twix, so you'll get the three that I see that I like. The 2024 White Sox are the only team ever to get shut out 7-plus times prior to game number 20. One out of 2,692 teams in baseball history.
Huh.
They might actually be the worst team of all time, and that is coming from a guy who watched the Tigers lose 119 games, like the first year I cared about baseball.
Who was it, like, was it a year ago or 2 years ago that we – we're watching, someone was saying, oh, this is the worst team. Is it the Athletics or the Marlins?
I think it was the A's, wasn't it?
The A's. Yeah, was it that, wasn't there a Tigers team that only like 40 wins? Is that the one?
They won 40.
Mike Moroth, yeah, was like 0-20.
Jeremy Bonderman.
Yeah. That team was bad. Bonderman was supposed to be good too.
Mr. Snappy, he had one pitch. You knew it was coming. In the last 100 years, two MLB teams have had a game with at least four doubles, three triples, two innings with four plus runs, and one grand slam. The 1927 Yankees did it and won 21-1. And the Cubs did it on April 16th and lost. They scored eight runs in two innings and lost.
That's crazy.
And then here's an Ellie one for you. Ellie De La Cruz is the first player in NL history to hit 6-plus home runs and steal 10-plus bases through his first 19 games. The only other player to do it was Ken Williams of the St. Louis Browns in 1922.
Oh, yeah. Love the St. Louis Browns. What a freak of nature. By the way, J-Rod today, 4-for-5 with two steals. He's at Colorado, though, but maybe it's waking him up.
I think he had two steals yesterday or a couple days ago, too.
No, he had back-to-back steals. So over the last four – we'll go back four games. He was 1-for-4 with a steal and two runs, 2-for-5 with a run and a steal, 2-for-5, and now 4-for-5 with two steals. So J-Rod may be waking up a little bit.
Here's one. Blake Snell has pitched – you get four. Blake Snell has pitched seven innings as a Giant and allowed 10 earned runs. He had a streak last year where he pitched 76 innings and allowed 6 earned runs. Hashtag Blake Snell.
By the way, I have a league in our Dynasty Darlings League. I have Cole Reagans, and I did not start him against Baltimore. I did not start him against Baltimore because Baltimore is really scary right now, and he got absolutely crushed. And I think we're at a point because last year we talked about the Walker Texas Rangers. We were like, do not start anybody versus the Rangers. I think we're at a point where you just don't want to start anyone against Baltimore anymore, even Cole Reagans.
This is from a few days ago, Tuesday. The O's scored 100 runs in 17 games. That's almost six runs. That's almost six runs a game.
Yeah, and they could be better. They don't even have Mayo or Kjerstad or, like, and Holiday's not even playing well. Like, they're going to only get better. The team is not fair.
I had to start him in my home league, that league without bench spots for pitchers.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, 37 ERA or something like that. He got rocked. Yep. All right, well, that's a podcast.
Peace.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Peace out, y'all. Later.